I'd like to read to you from 1 John chapter 3, beginning with 16. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought also to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God, and whatever we ask from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment.
This evening, I'm going to read Psalms 116, the first 16 verses. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications. Because he has inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call upon him as long as I live. The pains of death surrounded me, and the pangs of Sheol laid hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I implore you, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple, and I was brought low, and he saved me. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believe, therefore I spoke, I am greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefit toward me? I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am your servant. I am your servant.
Number 191. 191. Though the world may put us down, a lot of hatred, a lot of violence in the world today. Christians seem like are attacked at every corner, and yet all we have to do is look to God, and he'll take care of us. 191. Be not dismayed, whate'er betide, God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. Through days of toil, when heart doth fail, God will take care of you. When dangers fierce your path assail, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way.
He will take care of you. God will take care of you. No matter what may be the test, God will take care of you. Lean weary one upon his breast, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you.
A few years ago back, there was a lot of robberies of churches. When Atlanta, there was two or three a year and a half ago, that people came together to worship God, and someone had come in and robbed them. This happened to McLeod, Oklahoma Church of Christ. In the middle of the services on Wednesday night, armed men came in and demanded all their billfolds or rings or necklaces, everything of any value. And this continued to happen through Oklahoma, I understand, for a while. But the thing about robbing a church, you know, you'd never think about someone robbing a church. You know, Malachi asked, you rob God. How do we rob God? It's bad for them taking and robbing churches. But you know, there's ways we can rob God without a gun. We can look at some of the things that we do, some of the things we say that can rob God. As Malachi had asked that question, we might ask ourselves, how do we rob God? We can rob God by not doing what we're supposed to, by being the wrong example to the people that we come in contact with daily. We rob God of the influence that we could have if we would only change our ways and be godly. The way that we talk, the way we speak, we rob God of that because we use language that's not right. And we rob our influences for that. And so we have to watch the way that we many times look at things in our life. Again, we can rob the church of our influences by not holding fast to the things being taught. I read an article here just recently of one of the churches were starting to have what they call a Saturday service for young people that could not come to church on Sunday. Are we robbing God of the day that he has set aside for this assembly to come together? How do we rob God? Look at our own selves. Look at ourselves when we are here in the congregation. Do we think about what's going on in the congregation? Are we thinking about, you know, what we're going to have for dinner, where we're going to go? We rob God of our attention. And talking during services, you know, that can be bad. We disturb the people around about us. And so not only are we not observing God and worshiping him and paying attention to him, we're robbing other people of their attention that they could be giving to God. So as we go in our life, we need to look at some of the things that we do and say. And don't be part of the world. Don't be people that will do things, say things that are not proper in the Word of God. Because we can lose our influence very, very quickly. And we can do it by gossip, too. You know, that's has split a lot of congregations, gossip. My father used to say, if you can't say anything good about somebody, then keep your mouth shut. So that's the way to do it. Just keep your mouth shut. He was an alcoholic and everything, had a lot of bad ways, but he would never say anything bad. If you said, start saying something about it, he said, you know, if you can't say something good, so just, you know,
keep the dirt out of your mouth. So we can do a lot. Even Timothy was told that the young women, when they're talking about the women helping them, when the widows, he said, you know, the young women, they just go from house to house and gossip and gossip. And how many churches have a gossip tree? We used to hear it all the time, say, hey, so you know, they got the gossip phone going. I've heard people have just had to quit church because someone had said stuff that was not true, and it got them so discouraged they left the church. Are we going to stand up before God and say, hey, you know, well, I didn't really mean to hurt their feeling, but you did. You robbed God of somebody's soul. So as we go through our services, we go through our life, we need to look at this and say, hey, how will I rob God? It's not only just robbing God of what we give upon the first day of the week, but it's the robbing of God by our influences, by the way we act, by the things that we do. We are robbing God. And you know, the worst thing about it is we could be robbing God of our soul. You know, we could be robbing God of our soul. Wouldn't it be bad if we went through all of our life for 40, 50 years going to church and doing everything we thought we was doing and our conduct was right, and we got up in front of God and he says, well, you know, a Christian's life is right here and your life's right here. He said, there's a big gulf in between the two. Wouldn't it be horrible? Wouldn't it be bad? So as we go through life, we need to look at our life and see, are we robbing God? If we are robbing God, we need to make it right with God. We need to go back. We need to pay attention to what's going on in the congregation. Be part of the congregation. Be part of the worship. Thank you.
I'm going to read through Galatians 6, verses 1 through 10. This is probably one of my very favorite passages in the Bible, just because it has so many useful and just powerful pieces of advice in such a short passage. I think also a lot of these concepts can be boiled down to a way where even kids can understand, kind of like the kids up here are learning the book of James lately. So Galatians 6. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. So, to put simply, help those who are on the wrong path. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ, or simply, help each other out. For if anyone thinks himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Don't think too highly of yourself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. There is honor in doing work. For each one shall bear his own load. Each one is responsible for him or herself. Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Respect and honor your teachers. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. If you do good things will come to you. If you do bad things may come to you. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Don't focus on the world, because it will eventually go away. And focus on God, because that's where you have a hope in heaven. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Don't give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially those who are of the household of faith. Do good to all, especially your church family.
Before I read this book of Scripture, Hebrews, I want to tell you about a situation that I've had for a long, long time, and you've had the same that I've had, is when you drive down to the mall, when you come to stoplights or whatever, you see these people on the side of the street needing food, needing money, needing something. And I always thought, well, maybe they do and maybe they don't. How do I determine which needs it and which don't need it? And when I started in the Bible reading, most people will start with Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. I picked the book of Hebrews. Now, why, I don't know. But that book of Hebrews has helped me immensely. You know, the book of Hebrews is kind of poetic. And, I probably read halfway through it and didn't even know who the writer was. But I go back and I read parts of Hebrew. And something has helped me more than anything in the book of Hebrews about seeing the homeless. You know, God says, take care of the needed. And who are they? Where are they? So I want to read you something, and I want you to remember this the next time you see that person. I'm going to read you a scripture from Hebrews 13. I was doing real well in the book of Hebrews till I got to chapter 13, verse 2. And it says, be not forgetful of entertaining strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Angels are in different forms, not just humans. So be very careful when you say no and when you say yes. There are people out there that need our help. They need our love and care. They need our prayers. And if we can talk to them, help them to come to realize with a relationship of Jesus Christ, their life is going to be better because they too will walk in the likeness of Christ. Thank you.
Turn to number 783. I'm like Carol. I've had that same question many times. You don't know if they're wanting the money to go buy beer or who knows. You just really don't know. I guess the safest thing is to try to help everybody. 783. We sing this song very seldom. If the name of the Savior is precious to you, if your care has been constant and tender and true, if the light of His presence has bright your way, oh, will you not tell of your gladness today? Oh, will you not tell it today? Will you not tell it today? If the light of His presence has brightened your way, hey, oh, will you not tell it today? If your faith in the Savior has brought its reward, if the strength you have found in the strength of your Lord, if your hope of your rest in His palace is sweet, oh, will you not, brother, the story repeat? Oh, will you not tell it today? Will you not tell it today? If the light of His presence has brightened your way, oh, will you not tell it today? If the souls all around you are living in sin, if the Master has told you to bid them come in the sweet invitation they never have heard, oh, will you not tell them the cheer-bringing word? Oh, will you not tell today? Will you not tell it today? If the light of His presence has brightened your way, oh, will you not tell it today?
So last year I'm sitting at work, you know, and I've got a window in front of me. I can look right across at the DoubleTree Hotel, and I look at the window frame, and it starts coming down like this, and then it goes like that and comes back, and I'm thinking, well, that's not good. And trying to look at the computer, you know, I read a lot on the computer, looking at drawings and all sorts of stuff, and you know, I'm doing this and squinting and, you know, doing this with my eyes, trying to focus. And I'm going, that's not good. So we leave and go on vacation, and we're driving to Florida, and I'm going, whew, this, my eyes are really hurting. And we get down to Panama City, and the next day I go, I got to find a doctor. So I go to the doctor, and they go, well, you got a hole in your eye. And we can operate on it. And I said, well, I'm not right here. So come back and appear after a glorious week in the rain in Florida, and go to another doctor. And he goes, yeah, you got a hole in it, in the back of it. And so we can fix it. It's real easy. And it's amazing how a deformity in such a small, little bitty, tiny hole and that sort of thing really wears on you. You know, all last summer and until I got it fixed, you know, I'd come home from work and I'd just be dead dog tired. And some of that's, you know, age creeping up on me, but, you know, or old age. But it was, you know, an issue. And you can make a kind of a parallel to what Jesus talks about in Matthew chapter 7, if you'll turn there. In verse 1, he says, do not judge so that you will not be judged. For in the way you judge, you will be judged. And by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, and behold, the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. And so we've always thought about this in the terms that Jesus uses here about being hypocritical. You know, if I've got a life just full of lots of sin, I shouldn't be picking on Terry for, you know, a little, you know, he dropped a chewing gum wrapper on the ground. You know, he shouldn't do that. And so hypocrisy, I think, is a tool that Satan uses to separate us from God. And Jesus warns here that we shouldn't be hypocritical. And it's a very good lesson. We shouldn't. But I think there's another lesson to learn in this, that it's really irrelevant if I've got a speck in my eye and Terry's got a log in his. What our actions should be is to help one another get rid of those things, because the speck or the log is really what keeps us from seeing who God truly is and what Christ wants us to do. And you go back to what Joe read from Galatians, it kind of reinforces all this, and that we should be helping one another to do those things. And it goes back to what Joel was saying earlier about we have responsibilities. Okay. We use this point of hypocrisy a lot of times to let it divorce us from church, from God. Because we go, well, Terry, you dropped that gum wrapper on the ground, and that's just not right. He shouldn't do that. So I can't associate with that type of Christian anymore. Well, that's just an excuse. And a poor one at that. It is not a good reason for leaving the church and walking away. We have a responsibility to one another to help one another out, to get the speck out or the log out. So then we can concentrate on God and see Him for who He is. So if we use the excuse of, well, the elders don't do like I want to do, or the song leaders don't do sing the songs that I want, or this knucklehead gets up here and talks about his eye problems, you know, that's wrong. Our focus needs to be on God. So, my eye's getting better, thank you. And last couple of days, I guess it was with pollen, it hasn't felt real well, but it's getting better. And hopefully it will be fairly back to normal one day. But our spiritual eye health is what we really need to be concerned with and look towards. Thanks.
Kirk, would you mind coming on ahead with your scripture, please, now? And then Rick, following him, would you come make the comments you need to make? Kirk, come ahead. Then I will close out or pass on what I've got.
Okay, I'm going to read tonight from Colossians chapter 3. And going to do verses 12 through 17, kind of short. But in these few verses, one thing I like about them so much is that it does cover pretty much everything the way we're supposed to be. And the verses preceding that are all the things we're not supposed to be. But we're just going to, in the effort of not reading too much at once, we're just going to do the focus on how we are to be. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were also called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him.
We have a family in need. A few weeks ago, I got a phone call. This lady said they need some help. They live right up here behind Paul's Auto Parts. She's around 60. She got a son that's 35, and he has a lot of mental problems, and she really can't leave him by himself. Other day, I went up to take her some gift cards because her husband died 4 months ago, and she's had to move to Saudi with her daughter, and we're trying to get her in these apartments up here now. But check got messed up. She signed up for her husband's, and you know how that goes to the Social Security. And other day, I went to take her some cover that she's requesting, and when I got there, her daughter was crying, and they just had to take her brother to Mawson Ben. Took five policemen to get him down. He was going to go up the highway and get run over. He's ready to die. I mean, it's just what this lady deals with. He needs some clothes. He's an extra large, and usually about all he wears is warm-up suits, T-shirts, stuff like that. If anybody has any of that, if you'd bring it Sunday, I'd appreciate it. I hate to go buy new stuff right now. And this lady wears size 22. In women's, when I went first met her, she had on a pair of men's pants that was about 6 inches too long, and her shirt hit her right? I mean, this family really needs help. She's a member of the church years ago. She was baptized at East Brainerd. And we're trying to help her get back on her feet. And if y'all can do that, I would appreciate it. And I also want to thank Pat and Sherry for getting our sheets. I called the other day at the children's home, they have 32 beds. I think we're up to, what, 25 pair of sheets. And at good prices, and I want to thank them for doing that and for all the help everybody else has done. Thank you.
I don't know about you, but every time we do this, it's encouraging to me. I walk away with something I've picked up that somebody has said that applies to my life, that makes me feel better, makes me feel like there's something else I need to do. I appreciate all you men who are willing to get up here and say something, and others who are at other times would do that. I think it's a good thing for us to do, and I really appreciate it. Bow with me, please. Gracious Father, we're so thankful for this day you've given us, for the beautiful sunshine that we've enjoyed today, for the warm weather. We're thankful most, though, Father, for this time that we can spend together with fellow Christians to enjoy the fellowship with one another, to enjoy hearing things from your word, to listen to some of the things that are going on in our lives and the things that are going on in other people's lives, and the fact that we are so well blessed in this world, maybe materially, but also, if nothing else, so well blessed spiritually, Father. We're so thankful that we can always come and cast our care upon you, knowing that you care for us. We're grateful for your promise. We're thankful for the fact that you're willing to forgive us of sin, and we ask, Father, that you would forgive us of any sin that would stand between us and thee. Go with us tonight, Father, as we leave here, as we go our separate ways. Help us to be the example to others that we ought to be. Help us to always look to your word for our guidance, realizing, Father, that this world does not provide the guidance that is beneficial to us in our lives. But be with those men and women who stand on that front line, our policemen, our EMTs, our firemen, even our soldiers who are in foreign fields, Father. Be with those folks as they do the things that help us in our society to go forward. Be with our country, Father. Help us to get back on track with the things that would be in accordance with your will. But always, Father, help us as a congregation to continue to do those things that are pleasing in your sight. Help us to continue to try to help others, to teach others your word so that they also can go to heaven. Help us to continue to look at that goal. Keep it in mind with everything that we do and say and the way we react. Go with us through this night, Father, and be with our families, and be with those who are ill and unable to be with us. These favors we ask in Christ's holy name. Amen.